I have to explain to you that, you know, where a preacher starts out on Tuesday or Monday isn't necessarily where he ends up on Sunday. So I've got one scripture lesson written down in the bulletin, but I'm going to start in a different place. So if you're following along and I'm not where you think I should be, that's the reason why. Because we're doing this series of sermons on the book of James, and there's so much in there because James is it's a shoe hits the pavement kind of book. It is very high on applicability, very, very important for us to hear and to understand how it is that we ought to take our faith in Jesus Christ and live it out in our day-to-day lives. So there's so much in here that I really, really wanted to preach on the entire second chapter, and I was going to read the entire second chapter to you. And then I decided, well, I'll do the first 17 verses, and then as I continued on in the week, I'm going to start at verse 14 instead. And we're going to go from verse 14 to the end of the second chapter. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. May the Lord bless this a portion of his holy word. James, as I mentioned last week, is very intent upon all of us realizing that the Christian faith is more than just having a get into heaven free card. It is so much more than that. It is about taking that faith and putting it into practice, that our faith needs to shape our lives day in and day out. Our faith needs to give us focus and perception on how it is that we live our lives, how it is that we live from day to day. If our faith were nothing more than coming to worship on a Sunday morning and checking a box and going home, then our faith would be useless. It would be worthless. It would have no real purpose, no real meaning in our lives. And so James wants us to see that faith and works need to be together. You can't have one without having the other. Now, one of the folks before the 8:30 a.m. service gave me a good illustration. Let me try this and see if this helps you to understand what James is trying to say. Because I came into the family center before the 9 o'clock service, and I have my earpiece with the microphone in it, in my ear, and I have that. And then I had to remember to go get the little box that actually transmits the sound. And so there was the illustration. Let's see if this works for you.
Ha!
I can still hear Dwight. If I walked around with this nifty earpiece all day long, it would look good. It would look like, hey, there's an important man. He's got something to say that needs to be heard. But it would be useless. It has no purpose, no function whatsoever to walk around with this earpiece. And the same way, if I walked around with this handy-dandy little transmitter box in my pocket all day and didn't have the microphone to go with it, that would be a useless exercise. It would have no purpose, no meaning whatsoever. Well, that's what James is trying to help us to see, is that faith and works, believing and letting that belief work out in our lives, has to go together. To have one without the other would be purposeless, would be meaningless. Faith without works, James tells us, is dead. It's useless, meaningless, no purpose whatsoever to it. And now there's a part in here where this is, remember last week I told you Martin Luther was not keen on the book of James. Martin Luther thought that the book of James should not be included in the scriptures. Here's why. There's this one verse in here. And see if I can find it quickly. I'm going to be like Darren at the 9 o'clock service the other week and not be able to find it. But it says here that... See, this is not my Bible. This is the Bible for the church, and I do not mark in it. I think I'm regretting that decision right now. But it says that faith alone will not save us. Verse 24, thank you. See? I didn't help you out the last Sunday. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. That was a stumbling block for Martin Luther because he says, well, no, we don't want to go back to the way of the Catholic Church. We don't want to say that one finds a salvation in doing all these things that you have to do, you know, so many penances, you have to do so many masses per month, and you have to do this, that, and the other thing, and if you have enough money, you can buy some indulgences. Martin Luther did not want us to go back to that idea that we had to earn God's love. But that's not what James is saying here. You see, the word salvation is not solely about our eternal destination. It is about that, but it's not solely about that. You see, the word salvation here is a word that means to be made whole, to find our completion, to be who we are called to become the people that God has called us to be. Well, certainly that means that God wants to spend all eternity with us and have us spend all eternity with Him. And He did that for us through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and His life and death and resurrection, paying the penalty for our sins, and that He restored the relationship that we have. But it's not just about getting to heaven. It's not about life eternal alone. It is about living today. Living today as a people that God has called us to be. Living today, becoming the people that God designed us to be. Living today as the people that God dreams and desires for us to be. And that is a people of love. A people whose lives express love in our actions. I did a funeral. I was called in to do a funeral a number of years ago. And as I was at the funeral home at the during the calling hours, one of the family members came over to me, because I didn't know this person. I was just asked to fill in a situation. And one of the family members comes over to me and she says, "You know, her husband was the meanest SOB you would ever know in your life. He was horrible to her. She had to put up with him throughout their whole marriage. He didn't treat her well, treated her poorly." She went on to tell me all these terrible things about the man. And then she says, "But I'm so happy for her now, because she doesn't have that cross to bear anymore." You've heard that phrase before. Somebody has a cross to bear in their lives, and it reflects back on Jesus' words where he says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." And we hear those words and we think about them as Jesus' suffering and his pain and his sorrow and the passion that he exhibited on the cross and so on, and we think about it in those terms, and we think about it and we use it in our own lives. And I've heard a couple of you using it this way. "You know, these bad knees of mine, I guess that's just my cross to bear." Or, you know, something else goes on in your life, "Oh, it's just my cross to bear." That is so wrong. I'm telling you right now, don't ever use that phrase like that in front of me again, or else I'm going to have to scold you. Because when Jesus says, "Pick up your cross and follow me," he's not talking about the pain. He's not talking about the suffering. He is talking about the act of love that the cross is. Jesus picked up that cross for us because of his compassion for each one of us, because he loves each one of us so deeply and so dearly that he would do anything and everything to be in relationship with us. So when he says to us, "Pick up your cross and follow me," he is saying, "Follow my example. Live your lives with love and selflessness. Pick up your cross and follow me" is exactly what James is talking about in this second chapter. He is saying that we need to live our lives so that as we recognize what Christ has done for us, it makes us want to do for others. Makes us want to live lives that are marked by our love, our genuine, compassionate love for others. James says, you know, what good is it if you see a friend and the friend has no food, doesn't have adequate clothing, all these things are wrong, and you see that friend and they're telling you all their problems and you say, "Well, hope you have a great day now. Be well. Be well fed. Be happy. See you later." That's not love. That's not compassion. What James is trying to help us to see is that when we recognize what Christ has done for us in our lives, and we take that recognition into our hearts, when we accept that love of Jesus into our hearts and into our lives, it needs to flow out of us. So that when we see somebody, a friend of ours, and they're having a hard time, that maybe, just maybe, we show them our love by listening and caring and trying to help them to get through that situation. Or we see a neighbor who needs something, and so we find a way to help them to meet that need and save their dignity in the process. Now, faith without works is dead. I think that's should be very obvious to all of us, that the two go hand in hand. They work together. The works make our faith stronger. The faith gives meaning to our works. And now, I'm not saying, and I don't want you to mistake me on this, I'm not saying that we are all called to do something great, something majestic, something that is awe-filled and that people will notice. I think that what we are called to do is to live our lives in such a way that we begin to see how it is we can make the lives of those around us a little better. I'm not saying that we need to all run off and do missionary journeys to far and distant places. I'm not saying that all of us need to raise our hands and say, I'm going to go to seminary now. Please don't do that. What I'm saying is, if you have the love of Jesus Christ in your hearts, then you're going to start to see ways to serve. You're going to start to see ways that you can love others through small acts of kindness, through acts of compassion, through all sorts of ways that might not seem like a hill of beans to you, but might mean the world of difference to somebody that you care for. Faith without works, meaningless. But faith and works together make us whole and can change this world. Would you pray with me?